Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
How are we doing on this fine Sunday?
Great.
That's good. Are y'all ready for Youth Sunday?
Yeah.
So let's get it. Yes, yes. We have a lot of fun stuff to do today, but you know, I think it's only right that we start with the passing of the peace. So let's get up, greet our neighbors, and you know, have some fun. So before we get to the fun stuff, I think we gotta get our homework out the way first, and that is, of course, the announcements. So if you're a part of the outreach committee, you have a Zoom meeting at 7 p.m. on Monday, so make sure you stay in tune and set your calendars. Nominating surveys, those are due back by July 15th, so if you're a procrastinator, you have time. Summer's missions project, check parlor, donations, monetary donations, can be made through either check or tith.ly. It has to be marked summer missionary, missions. Now I want you guys to be honest with me. How many of y'all been checking in with your buddies? I'm not gonna lie, I've been slacking, but I know we're all busy people, so let's just make sure we stop and give a hello and a nice hug. And if you have a car, would you be willing to give somebody a ride? You can sign up. The sheet is in the back. And this is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen.
Majesty. Well, good morning, Village. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord one more time. It's good to see your smiling faces. We appreciate the sacrifice of praise. You all let go of those pillows this morning, and you made your way into the house of the Lord. Our virtual worshipers are tuned in and engaging with worship. And isn't technology wonderful? The future says that technology is here to stay, and hybrid worship is the worship of the future. We're all hybrid worshipers at some sort. So welcome to our virtual worshipers. Again, it's good to be in the house of the Lord today. I hope you found something to be grateful for already this morning. Just the movement of our limbs and the breath in our bodies and a reasonable portion of health and strength. God is worthy to be praised. Amen. Amen. This is our time when we embrace each other. And we lift up the prayers of the people, either our concerns or our joys, just things that we want to share one with another. They said the Spirit goes from heart to heart and breast to breast. It's nothing like Christian fellowship, and again, we are grateful for your presence. At this time, we will go to God in prayer after we hear the petitions of the people. For those of you who are worshiping virtually, we will mute the line at this point, at this time. But do know if you have some prayer concerns, please type them in the chat, and we will be sure to pray for you in the week to come. All right? Now, any among us who would like to lift up a praise report or have something that they would like to share with us? All right. We'll bring our virtual worshipers back in. And we will go to the throne of God. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Gracious and eternal God, we come before you today first and foremost to say thank you. To thank you for who you are and all that you've done and all that you've been in our lives. If we had 1,000 tongues, we could not thank you and we could not praise you enough. For you alone are God, sovereign, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And who are we that you are even mindful of us? Yet, you have put us just a little bit lower than the angels. So God, we thank you once again for just watching over us and keeping us, and that things are as well as they are with us individually and in this community. God, you know us, you made us, you knit us together before, in our mother's wombs, before we were even born, you knew us. So you know that we are full of emotions, that we are human, and that we still have need of you. We lift up the petitions of the people. First of all, we praise you for the improvements in health of a young lady, a baby among us, and we are just grateful and we're thankful for that. And we're thankful for community, for people that are willing to sacrifice and go out of the way to bring others to church, and that we are willing to support each other. And we are thankful for, again, this community and the faithfulness of those who are among us. We also lift up to you at this time the concerns, health concerns of people that are among us. We are mindful of their suffering, of their inconvenience, of their downtrodden spirits, their broken bodies. But we trust and believe that you can intervene in any situation, that you will be present at their bedsides, in their thoughts, and that you will give them the comfort that they need, and that we might be instruments of that comfort as well. We ask that you would help us to continue to pray for them and sacrifice for them and do what we can to make their challenge easier. We are mindful, Lord, of the sickness that abides in our bodies as well as our minds. It's a real thing with us now, as it always has been. The mind is a battlefield, and if the devil can control our minds, then he can control other things. So we claim it all in the name of Jesus. We stomp out the devil right now, Lord, and we claim victory over all of our ailments and all of those things that challenge us. We are mindful, O Lord, of our place in this universe, and that you have created all things, and everything is beautiful, and we're all intimately knit together, and we just ask you to help us to do better, be better stewards of the creation that you have given us, and that we may begin to, in big ways and small ways, just be better stewards and preserve our planet for those generations to come. We're mindful, O Lord, of your presence with us. We are grateful for those instruments of worship, for our choir, for our greeters, for our musicians, and the young people that are leading us today. They make our hearts glad, and we're so thankful that we are a multi-generational church and that there's room at the cross for everyone to serve and to be and to grow. Now, Lord, we ask your continued presence. This hour is yours. Let us put away the cares of the world and just focus on you. This hour is yours. All of these prayers we lift in the name of Jesus, our risen Lord and Savior. Amen.
My name is Elizabeth Blackwood, or Lizzie Blackwood, and the story that I'll be reading for you today is Lily's Journey of Discovery, Exploring God's Love in Nature. Once upon a time, there lived a curious little girl named Lily. She had a heart full of wonder and a mind eager to explore the world around her. One sunny day, while Playing in the meadow, Lily noticed a leather-bound book nestled in between a small cherry tree. Lily picked up the book and read the title. It was a Bible. Trying to find a place to read her newfound book, Lily spotted a pretty garden. There, she met a friendly old gardener named Mr. Oliver. Noticing the Bible in her hand, he smiled. Mr. Oliver welcomed her into the garden and said, "Lily, let me show you what God means to me." They strolled through the rows of vibrant flowers, each one representing a unique aspect of life. Mr. Oliver pointed to a magnificent sunflower and said, "You see, Lily, God is like the sun that shines upon us, bringing warmth, light, and life. Just as the sun nourishes this sunflower, God nourishes our hearts and souls with love and kindness." As they continued their walk, they approached a flowing river. Mr. Oliver kneeled down, cupped his hands, and splashed the water on his face. Then he said, "Water, my friend, teaches us about God's purity and renewal. It cleanses our spirits and reminds us to always seek forgiveness and start anew." Lily's gaze wandered to a towering oak tree. Its branches stretched high onto the sky, providing shade and shelter to anyone and anything under its branches. Mr. Oliver explained, "Like this tree, God is our protector, offering strength and guidance when we need it the most. We can find comfort and solace in his loving embrace." Just as the sun began to set, they reached a tranquil pond. Lily marveled at the sight of colorful fish swimming gracefully beneath the surface. Mr. Oliver whispered, In these fish, we find God's creativity and diversity. Each one is unique, just like us. God celebrates our differences and encourages us to cherish the beauty of every soul." As the day drew to a close, they settled on a soft patch of grass, gazing at the stars illuminating the night sky. Mr. Oliver pointed upwards and said, "The stars remind us of God's vastness and infinite wisdom. They guide us just as God's love and teachings guide our hearts throughout life's journey." Lily listened intently, taking in every word and marveling at the wonders around her. She realized that God meant something special to each person. With a grateful heart, Lily bid farewell to Mr. Oliver, returning the leather-bound Bible to its place in between the cherry tree. As she skipped home, she carried with her a newfound appreciation for the meaning of God. From that day forward, Lily saw God in the sun's warm rays, the purity of the water, the strength of trees, the diversity of living beings, and the guiding stars above. She learned that God's love was woven into the very fabric of existence, a reminder that we are all cherished and connected. And so as you venture throughout life, remember Lily's story and explore what God means to you. For within your hearts and minds lies the power to discover your own unique connection with the Lord. That's it.
Thank you. chapters 17, 32 to 33, 41 to 42, 45 to 46, and 48 to 50. David said to Saul, "Let no one's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with the Philistine." Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you are just a boy, and he has been a warrior from his youth." The Philistine came on and drew near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. When the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. But David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you with the name, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have deflected. This very day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. I will give the dead bodies of the Philistines' army this very day to the birds of the air and to the wild animals of the earth, so that all the earth may know there is a God in Israel." Yes. When the Philistine drew near to meet David, David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, slung it, and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David prevailed that the Philistine, a sling and a stone, striking down the Philistine and killing him. There was no sword in David's hand.
Amen.
Will you pray with me? Master, speak, thy servant heareth. What hast thou to say to me today? And now, O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts together be found acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock, our redeemer, and our one certain and sure foundation. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, Village, the Gen Zs and the Gen Alphas have taken over the building. These young people that have led us in worship so far today are members of these two generations, Gen Z and Gen Alphas. And as you can see, and as you have already affirmed, they bring their own unique characteristics to this church, to the community, and the world. According to my AI-generated list of characteristics, for Gen Z, that is the demographic born between 1996 and 2010, these are some of the characteristics of that generation. They are creative and innovative, passionate and curious, open-minded, responsible and determined, less tolerant of authoritarian environments. They value flexibility, and they actually prefer in-person interactions. Now for our Gen Alphas, the younger ones, they were born between 2010 and 2024, and they are expected to be the biggest generation in history. They were born into a generation where technology has always been present and permeates all aspects of their lives. Many of them even trend on social media before they can even gain their own vision, because their parents will take pictures of them moments after they enter into the world and post their pictures on social media for all to see, their Instagram, their TikTok, their whatever. They're already super, and they didn't even give them permission to do so. That's a pet peeve of mine. I know this to be true from my own household. I have a Gen Z granddaughter and a Gen Alpha great-grandson. I know I don't look old enough to have a great-grandson, but I do. And I can tell you that my great-grandson at age 2.5 has his own tablet. He knows how to turn it on. He has a password. And he knows which games he wants to play. No judgment. I'm just telling you the facts. I see some of us older ones just shaking our heads, and I do the same thing. I'm just telling you that they're there, and this is what's happening. And these Gen Alphas are going to be global citizens, and they're going to be lifelong learners. And they're called Gen Alpha because they mark the beginning of a new reality. They got their virtual glasses on, and they're all so they're just doing a whole different thing. Now, Gen Z and Gen Alphas, just like the millennials and the Gen Xs before them, they sometimes rub us baby boomers and traditionalists the wrong way. I just said it. They just make us shake our heads sometimes, don't they? We may be shocked, appalled, astonished, amazed, or any combination of those things at some of the things that they say or do. Some of our younger brothers and sisters just make our jaws drop. But as the scripture says, there's nothing new under the sun because generations have been challenging other generations for years. In the scripture that Brother Jordan so aptly read for us, we see a young David going up against, talking back to King Saul. And if you were to take the time to read the remainder of the chapter, and I hope you will have some engaging conversation with your young people, you can see that David was very confident in a way that made other people uncomfortable, even his own family. He was confident beyond their expectations of him, not beyond the expectations of God. And that's the message that he was trying to get across, right? David shows us still that you can't judge a book by its cover. Service is not based on age. That young people will continue to surprise us. And if they know who they are and whose they are, they can do exceedingly abundantly far more than we could ever ask and imagine. Yes? Yes. Amen. Amen. And so that's it. That's the message. David told the grown-ups in his life, I know who I am in God. I am all that. And I am who God says I am. That's what David told his elders, and that's what the scripture tells us today. So there's a few things that we can take from this scripture. As always, the scripture is revealing. It teaches us over and over again, depending on where we are, but it can teach us a lot of different things. And these are the things that the Spirit has given me to share with you all today, with our young people in mind, but this message is for everyone. You can see yourself in this as well. First thing that David was, and what we can do and what our young people can do, is to continue to be confident in the Lord. Be confident in the Lord. Know whose you are, who you are, and where your help comes from. Because people are going to try to impose limits on you because of your age, your gender, your social location, your race. They're going to try to put you in a box. But if you say, I know who I am, I know who God says I am all that, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, uniquely, fearfully, wonderfully made, I am all that. because God says, I am all that, then you will be able to fight the giants in your life. They may not be physical giants, but they will be figurative giants, like mental illness. These messages that are coming across to our young people have them in a tizzy. It's a real thing. They don't know who they are because we got so many other factors trying to tell them who they are. But I'm telling you all, young people especially, all of you, remember who you are. What you see on social media is a figment of your imagination. People are going to post things on social media that look good. They're not going to tell you about all the heartaches and the difficulties. They're just going to show you the good stuff. That's not how it is. There will be giants to fight. There will be battles that need to be fought. But with God's help and with the confidence in your God-given abilities, you can defeat the giants in your life. The second point, be strategic and use your head and let God lead. That's actually three things. Here's it. Be strategic, use your head, and let God lead. We have brains. Now, if you look at the scripture, you'll see that David's approach to fighting Goliath was really strategic. He had to go into battle the way he needed to go into battle. Again, if you read the whole thing, they tried to weigh him down with a bunch of stuff that he didn't even need. It was his decision to fight his own fight and to fight the way he wanted to fight. So be strategic. Don't wear yourself out. Don't adopt anybody else's game plan except the one that God has given you. David was strategic. He wasn't lucky. He let God lead. He used his God-given gifts, and that's how David defeated Goliath. Third point, fear not. Fear not. That phrase, fear not, is mentioned 365 times throughout the Bible, and Jesus said it plenty of times, fear not. We talked about fear last year. Fear will paralyze you, young people. Everybody in here, fear will paralyze you. It will keep you from doing the things that you can do. It will make you miss out on a lot of opportunities. It will keep you stuck and bound up. It will keep you from influencing the lives of other people. It will keep you from doing good while you are yet alive. Fear not. Put fear in its place. Do it afraid. You're going to get scared, but don't let the fear stop you. Do it afraid. Keep going. Fear, false evidence appearing real. Get that fear in check. Fear not. My fourth point, remember and believe in your higher purpose. Individualism and selfishness are the sins, the collective sins of our time. Always have been, they're going to be the demons, the giants that we have to fight individually and collectively. Selfishness, greed, excess. Again, we're talking about the planet. Our planet is in trouble because some of us have used more than our portion of our natural resources. And we haven't thought far enough into the future generations to let our hope for the future dictate our present beliefs. Individualism, selfishness, again, a big corporate sin that we always have to fight against. Dr. Martin Luther King is attributed with saying, "We must learn to live together as brothers, or we will die together as fools." We got to get this in check. And David's higher purpose prevailed over his fear, over his ego, over his selfishness. He had a bigger job to do, and that's how he was able to manifest the bravery he needed in the moment. And that's why we're still talking about him today, because he obeyed God, he was not afraid, He called on the mighty name of the Lord, and the Lord helped him fight his battle. Strategic. Remember your purpose. Remember who and whose you are. So today we are grateful for our emerging leaders that are among us. It's something to be celebrated. We have a multi-generational church, right? And they are budding and they're blooming, and you make us proud. God is pleased with you, and we are pleased with you as well. Your qualities, Gen Xers, Gen Z, and Gen Alpha, are welcome among us, and everybody's welcome. There's room at the cross for everyone. We expect great things from our young people. The sky is the limit because, again, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. You are all that, Noble. And what's your sister's name? Shelby and Lizzie and all of you. You are all that and a bag of chips. And we love every one of you. You are wonderful. We are glad to call you brothers and sisters. Gen Xers and boomers and traditionalists, we just got to lay back and just kind of take it all in stride. Everything's going to be all right. They're going to lead. They're going to take us where we need to go. The sky is the limit. We bless God for your presence and your leadership today. God bless you. We have our praise song. We're going to sing from the hymnal 356. We praise you, O God. We praise you, O God. The words will be printed on the screen as well as in your hymnal, page 356.
Me again. Did we all enjoy Youth Sunday?
Yes.
That's good. That's what we wanted to do today. So the benediction today: may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.
Amen.
That's the one I have. God bless you.